Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with the Browns' big decision. Is Cleveland making a mistake starting Deshaun Watson Friday night in Jacksonville? Will he even be allowed to? Plus, we have football tonight. Who's calling the plays in Foxborough? Will we see Mac Jones? So many questions about Bill Belichick's master plan. And the D in Dallas stands for Dak, but he can't do it alone. Do the Cowboys need Zeke to have a huge year to make a Super Bowl run? Good morning. I'm Dan Graziano in Fort Greene, and look who is here with me this morning. We got D. Wood. We got Mike T. Let's hear it for Mike T. That's it? No, it's D. Wood. Let's hear it for D. Wood. Yeah.
Not even close.
Diana Russini is here as well. We have a ton. There we go. Mike, you know I love you. We have a ton of football to get to, and we will. We're going to start with tennis. Serena Williams back on the court one day after telling the world that her tennis career is coming to a close. This is the National Bank Open. Serena against Belinda Bencic. Hear what it sounded like when she took the court. To the action now, Bencic with a set point leading 5-2 in the first. She seals the first set with this backhand winner. Serena upset at dropping the first set 6-2. Second set, Serena trailing 5-3. Bencic can't get the serve back. Serena pumped, trying to stay in the match, but Bencic would be too much. This is match point. Serena's return goes long. Bencic defeats Serena 6-2, 6-4. Great ovation, as you would expect, for Serena after the match. She's emotional, she's wiping away tears, and here's what she had to say.
It's just been so memorable, you know. Like I said in my article, I'm terrible at goodbyes, but goodbye. Toronto! Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It's been a joy playing in front of you guys all these years, so thank you.
So with Serena Williams out of Toronto, she likely now has just two tournaments remaining on her upcoming schedule. She'll compete next week in Cincinnati at the Western and Southern Open, an event she's won twice before. And then, of course, her likely last appearance in New York at the U.S. Open, where she'll get one more chance to equal Margaret Court's record of 24 major championships won. To the football now, where the Cleveland Browns, announced yesterday that quarterback Deshaun Watson will start tomorrow's preseason opener against the Jaguars. Of course, Watson and the Browns still waiting to see whether he will be suspended longer than the six games he was given for violating the personal conduct policy. Watson and the Browns getting ready to play Jacksonville. They're going to go with Watson. He's suspended for at least the first six games of the season. They still feel like they need to get him ready. But Diana Russini, what is the latest? Where do things stand with Deshaun Watson and the suspension front?
Yeah, good morning, Dan. Good morning, guys. Essentially, we're kind of in a waiting pattern, trying to find out what the ruling is going to be. We know that the NFL appealed the six-game suspension. But for right now, Deshaun Watson, he's suspended for the first six games of the season. That's not changing, Dan. The only thing that's going to change there, potentially, would be more games added to that. Now, if the ruling does come down, let's say today, maybe even tomorrow morning, and the league winds up winning this and gets that full year suspension, then Deshaun Watson technically won't be able to participate in Friday night's preseason games. As of right now, he's allowed to participate, as we have seen, and it's the reason why the Browns are going to be playing him. But things could change if a ruling was to come down.
So, all right, well, let's assume for now that it's status quo and that he's suspended the first six games of the season but allowed to play in the preseason. If he is allowed to play, should he?
What's the point? I mean, what's really the point of Deshaun Watson playing in the preseason game? Oh, I'm going to play him so he's going to be ready to play week 7? That, to me, makes absolutely no sense when you got the backup quarterback in Jacoby Brissett that you obviously have to get ready. And on top of that, we know in this league, all it takes is one hit for you to find, you know, for your backup quarterback. So the third string quarterback needs to get reps just in case, you know, some type of injury happens to Jacoby Brissett. I know he's the new shiny toy with the Cleveland Browns, but to me, it just doesn't make any sense to have him out there.
Well, I mean, look, it's preseason, so they're probably all going to play at some point in the game. But, Mike, you see it differently. You think there is value in him playing.
Yeah, D. Wood, to me, this is a very unusual situation in that he's their franchise quarterback. It's been 585 days since he's played football. He needs reps at some point. This is probably the last meaningful opportunity. Now, we know how veteran offensive linemen don't like to play in preseason. But if I'm putting him out there, I'm putting him out there with the number one offensive line. I'm going to try and keep him protected within reason. And then I totally agree. A lot of what we're going to be talking about over the next 2 weeks isn't Jacoby Brissett, but who's next? Is it Josh Dobbs? Is it Josh Rosen? They are literally one hit away from being the quarterback of a very good team that we expect to be in the playoff race in the AFC North.
Yeah, a lot of uncertainty, obviously, around that Browns quarterback situation. A lot more questions still to be answered between now and the start of the season, maybe between now and the start of their preseason, which is tomorrow night. But that is only one of 16 preseason football games this weekend, so we want to put you guys on weekend watch. Mike Tannenbaum, what are you most looking forward to seeing this weekend in the NFL?
Trevor Lawrence with his new head coach, Doug Peterson. Doug Peterson has done an amazing job in his career with quarterbacks. Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, they added Christian Kirk in Jacksonville, Travis Etienne, last year's first-round picks coming back. Brand new offense. Trevor Lawrence has immense talent. Can't wait to see this new offense.
Diana, what are you looking forward to this weekend?
Goodbye, Jimmy G. Hello, Trey Lance, right? All this talk all season long that this team has officially moved on from Jimmy G and it's Trey Lance's job. So, are you good? Trey Lance, how are you learning this offense? Where do you look at this point in the season? We know there's got to be some growing pains, but your starting left tackle, Trent Williams, came out to the media and said he is making everyone on this team better. I want to see it.
D. Wood?
Yes, Jalen Hurts for me going to be in the second year under Nick Sirianni in that offense. We know that this team last year led the league in rushing, but everyone wants to know, how far has Jalen Hurts advanced as a passer? We know that they traded for A.J. Brown to kind of help in that process. So for me to get a glimpse of where do we stand as far as Jalen Hurts as becoming a more efficient passer.
Always quarterbacks with you guys. That's all you want to talk about.
Oh, quarterback. We can talk offensive line all day. I can do that now.
I know. That's what I always said about Damian Woody. All he wants to talk about is quarterbacks. Hey, the first of the preseason games of this weekend are tonight. The New England Patriots are going to be playing the New York Giants. Lots of coaching changes in New England as Mac Jones will be under a new offense in his second year. A lot has been made of this throughout training camp. How is it looking? Who's calling the plays? Who's in charge of the offense and Mac Jones's development? And for more on this, who better to bring in than our own Mike Reese, who gets up with us live from Foxborough. Mike, first of all, what can you tell? Like, is Mac Jones going to play tonight?
Good morning, Dan. How great is this to just be able to turn around and say there's going to be a football game in this stadium behind me tonight? I brought my football to work today. I'm so excited. If you love football, this is a great day. Mac Jones not going to be holding the football when the game starts tonight, Dan. I know you know that. I know that. We reported that this morning together for ESPN. The theme here for the Patriots, it's a marathon, not a sprint. They have joint practices coming up against the Panthers and Raiders in the next couple weeks. Preseason games against them. No urgency, they feel, to put Mac or any of the starters on the field tonight.
All right, but in general, all right, look, I'm not even talking about tonight. There's two more preseason games. They have joint practices coming up the next couple weeks. In general, we have heard from the outside a lot about the concerns about this new Patriots offense, how it looks, who's in charge. You're there every single day watching it. What can you tell us about the level of concern inside the building?
Well, Dan, I would listen to the players. I mean, they've acknowledged there's been growing pains with the offense. They're making too many mistakes. The low point was probably Monday of this week when the offense stayed on the field as a full unit and the captain, David Andrews, addressed the offense as a whole. Now, it got better the next day, and I don't sense any panic, maybe some frustration. They point out there have been 12 practices, 6 in full pads. No one has it figured out at this point. They're determined to stay the course.
All right. Thanks, Mike Reese. You're the best. Come back and join us next hour. Go get something to eat or something, and we'll hit you again when we come back in the 9 o'clock hour. Mike T., though, are the Patriots making a mistake here? Should Mac Jones be playing tonight in this game?
Yes, he should. They're going to have a new offensive play caller, which nobody really knows who that is. Is that Joe Judge? Is that Bill Belichick himself? Is it Matt Patricia? So, again, we talked about getting reps for Deshaun Watson. Very similarly, I would get reps for Mac Jones in a game situation. He's going to be hearing somebody new in his helmet after the rookie year was Josh McDaniels. So, to me, again, I would be out there with the first offensive line, maybe get 15 plays, get out there, don't turn the ball over, no pre-snap penalties. You don't have to be there out there a lot, but you want to get some momentum heading into next 2 weeks of preseason.
You agree?
No, I don't agree. I think outside of procedural things, as far as the games are concerned, I think you get more out of joint practices, you know, because obviously the competition is ratcheted up. Guys don't want to look bad going against the opposition, you know, across from them. We know that Bill Belichick, you know, he religiously works on situational football in practices. So I think the value for the Patriots is those joint practices that you're talking about with the Carolina Panthers and the Las Vegas Raiders.
And that's over the next couple of weeks.
Right.
The practice against Carolina next week and Las Vegas, whose coach they know quite well, the week after that. Diana, what more can you tell us about the situation in New England?
Man, I'm just listening to you guys talk about this new offense, Mac Jones not getting out there today, and I'm just thinking, New England, a new offense with play callers that are only familiar with the defensive side of the ball, at least that's where their expertise are. There is so much change in New England, yet I hear Mike Reese reporting, and he's always spot on, that there's no panic. How can there not be? There should be panic, because what are they doing? This just seems very confusing. And I think it's okay to start the season saying, what are the New England Patriots? We will figure them out by September, October. But I just think right now, having a conversation about New England, I don't have a lot of answers, because I don't think they do.
D. Wood, what's got you worried in particular?
Well, I mean, listen, I'm going to always go to the offensive line.
Right.
Okay? Their prior offensive line coach went with Josh McDaniels to Las Vegas. That's a big transition. You hear a lot of people up in New England talk about, that's been the real, as much as we talk about play callers and Mac Jones, the real issue has been the offensive line. They really haven't been able to block anybody up in Patriots camp. So for me, that issue needs to be worked out. But I'm not going to go DEFCON 1 right now. Hell, we got a whole month before these games start counting. So I'm giving Bill Belichick the benefit of the doubt that he'll be able to try to work out some of these games. Are there issues? Absolutely. But we're still a long ways away from these games that really count week one.
But D-Wood, like, you just made my argument for me, which is new old line coach, new play caller. Wouldn't you want them out there for at least a couple of series tonight?
No, because to me, joint practices are more important. Like, I get more out of joint practices outside of procedural things.
Yeah.
I mean, these guys are going to be out there for a series. Me personally, I'd rather have the joint. Well, not me personally, because I've never been out there. But I'm just saying, anybody else, I'd rather have the joint practices.
All right. We got plenty more time to discuss this. As D. Wood mentions, another month before the Patriots play a game that counts. We come back today, though, on Get Up. Who is going to replace Big Ben in Pittsburgh? Wait till you hear what one of their star receivers had to say about how good the Steelers' offense can be. Plus, what has to happen in Miami for Tua to convince the Dolphins that he is the long-term answer at quarterback? We'll talk about that next.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by Burger King. $5 your way with the new Southwest Bacon Whopper Jr. Meanwhile, on planet Earth with Hard Knocks starting up this week, we wanted to flash back to 12 years ago on Hard Knocks with Mike Tannenbaum. D-Wood, you weren't here yesterday. We've run this before.
D-Wood, I want the competition with Rex. That's what bothered me. Is I want the record set straight. I want the competition.
As far as I know, this is the entire video, and there's nothing more to the story beside this. But wait, there is someone here on our show today who can catch a ball, and that is Diana Rossini. Look at this. Speaking of Rex Ryan, he's going to throw Diana a pass, and I don't know what that route is, but yeah, that guy's outstanding. Oh. Outstanding.
Yeah,
work.
Diana.
Look at that, showing Mike Tannenbaum.
In the rain, too.
I mean, Diana's an athlete.
And that would, you know, that would survive a challenge. That would survive a coach's challenge right there.
That would. All right, well, now we know who on the set can catch it and who can't. D-Wood, can you field a punt or catch a pass?
Absolutely.
All right, there you
Especially
go.
Especially when you tell me we get a day off.
Exactly right. Exactly. It's all about incentive.
That's right.
All right, let's get back to the professionals. Back to the NFL, where the Dolphins and the Buccaneers continue joint practice today. Tua Tagovailoa and Tom Brady are on the same field together, and Tua spoke yesterday about what he admires about Brady's game. Take a listen.
I would say Tom's composure in the pocket. Nothing really rattles him. When you got a guy in your face, you just subtle movements and throwing the ball. You know, I would say those are top trait qualities in a really good quarterback with him, Russ, Aaron Rodgers, you know, all those big time guys.
That struck me as a good answer. Like, I thought that was a good solid. Anyway, whatever. We know the Tua story. Number 5 pick overall a couple years ago. They've dabbled in the quarterback market with some big names. Are they sold on him long term? What does he have to show them this season in order to convince the Dolphins he is the answer?
Okay, it's pretty simple to me. Number 1, be available. Okay, we talked about that with Tua in the past. Be available for all 17 games. That's number 1. Number 2, be a point guard. Be a good point guard. Because in this offense, first and foremost, it's about running the football, but it's about getting the ball in these playmakers' hands and getting that yard after the catch. They got the skill position players to get plenty of that. So, you know, distribute the ball to your playmakers, be available, and then ultimately, you got to win football games. Steven Ross didn't make all these acquisitions to not make the playoffs. Got to win some football games. So if Tua can navigate those three things that I pointed out, he'll be fine.
What do you need to see from him?
Very, very similar. Durability is number one, playing 17 games. But then I want to see command of the offense, in and out of the huddle, no pre-snap penalties. D, what you just mentioned, a lot of new faces, most notably Tyreek Hill. Be clean in and out of the huddle. Don't let the ball touch the ground. And then in situational football, where so many games in the NFL are won or lost, third down, red zone, 2 minute, be excellent. That's what Tom Brady's been for his whole career. They can have a number of three and outs, but when the game is on the line, pivotal plays, third down, red zone, you have to excel. And Tua has all the weapons he needs to do that this season.
Diana, what are you looking for from Tua here in year three?
Just his decision making after the snap, his continued downfield accuracy. Last season, talking to defensive coordinators that were facing the Dolphins, these were some of the things that they were harping on and taking advantage of, where they felt that they had a leg up on him. When I'd ask, you know, how are you preparing for this quarterback? And here's the reality, Dan. You have a new head coach who really has no connection to Tua, who has really said all the right things in terms of supporting his quarterback. But Miami as a whole is looking at the situation, and you know that they're hoping this works out. But you have to figure, he needs to be really good for them to stick with him. This is a bit of a one-year tryout for Tua.
It's a one-year tryout, and he needs to probably get off to a good start. We wanted to show you Miami's first four games of the season to see how they're coming out of the gate. This is not easy, I don't think, the way these first four games set up. So you think Tua, Mike T, you think it's important for him to have a big September and make sure that they aren't thinking about other options?
Right, and the most notable option, Dan, to me, is Jimmy Garoppolo. At some point, San Francisco is going to release him. He's had great success with Mike McDaniel, who was the coordinator in San Francisco, now the head coach of the Dolphins. So if Tua stumbles and those first four games are difficult, and if I'm Miami, I don't have two first-round picks next year, Jimmy Garoppolo may not just be the best solution in September of 2022, but he may be the best solution for the next 3 years.
Dolphins, of course, did have two first-round picks
next year,
but recently lost. Right, Bridgewater on the roster as the backup, correct. They were docked one of those two first-round picks as a result of the tampering investigation. You agree that they should think about Jimmy G?
No, I mean, listen, it seems like Miami is, like, all in this year to evaluate Tua.
Mm-hmm.
And so evaluate Tua. Give him the year. That, you know, I just don't see the value in, well, after a quarter of the season, the first quarter, things, the boat is rocking. Oh, let's just jump ship to Jimmy G. Like, I just don't find the value in that.
But D-Wood, he has a couple of other years. I agree. If this was his first season, four games isn't enough, but there are a couple other seasons that he has on tape.
We'll see. The Dolphins obviously think they have a good group around Tua to let him show what he can do. We will all find out together what that is. In the meantime, we're going to do a baseball minor league baseball highlight. The AA Springfield Cardinals, first baseman Chandler Redmond, had a historic night. This is the top of the fifth. Cardinals up 4-3. This is a two-run home run from Redmond just inside the foul pole and left field. It's his first home run of the game, but it was not his last. Very next inning, he's up with the bases loaded. This is a high and deep opposite field shot for a grand slam. That is home runs in consecutive innings for Chandler Redmond. But stay with us. Top of the seventh, nobody on. Redmond drives a solo home run to left center field. That's his third home run of the night, third home run in three innings. And here he is in the eighth with two on. That is a no doubt about it, three-run home run to left field. So if you were keeping track, that's four homers in four straight innings, 11 total RBIs. Obviously, Springfield won this game. But what Redmond did was something that is extremely rare. He hit four different kinds of home runs, a solo home run, two-run, three-run, and a grand slam. This is only the second time that has ever happened in minor league baseball history. They call it the home run cycle. First time it happened was in 1998. It has never been accomplished in the major leagues. So how about that for Chandler Redmond making a little history with the Springfield Cardinals? We come back, will it be Steel Pity in the Steel City? Mike Tomlin has one of the biggest decisions of the summer. Who's going to replace Big Ben? We are live in Pittsburgh and giant questions in New York. Can new coach Brian Daboll save Daniel Jones' career? You've got questions. We've got answers. Stick with us when we come back.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
All right, we're back on Get Up. We're going to play a new game called Playoffs or Way Off. This is, yes, no, it rhymes, and that's why it's cool. D. Wood, Patriots, they're going to make the playoffs, they're going to be way off.
I hate that you're making me say way off, but I'm going to go way off with the Patriots. They're going to have a lot of turnover in a stacked AFC, a lot of turnover, particularly the offensive coordinator spot. You got Mac Jones going into his second season. Just a lot of question mark with the Patriots. Right now, I'm going to go way off.
Right. They barely missed the playoffs is not an option because it doesn't rhyme. Yeah. So, playoffs are way off. Diana Rossini, how about the New Orleans Saints? Playoffs are way off.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go way off right now because I don't have full confidence that Jameis Winston can run this entire offense for an entire season and stay healthy. They are going through a lot of transition there and a lot of change. Sean Payton had a lot more juice, power, and control over that team. And without him being there, I just think it's going to be a transition year.
That's very interesting. We've had a lot of positive things to say about the Saints, but it's a good point about Payton and how important he was. Mike, Steelers, playoffs are way off.
Way off. Barely missing the playoffs, actually. So,
for not me, an option.
I love Mike Tomlin, and I think Mitch Trubisky is going to play better than Ben Roethlisberger a year ago, so I'm totally contradicting myself. But when you look at the AFC North and Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson probably back at some point, and the rest of the AFC, I just think this is going to be the year that Mike Tomlin's going to be on the outside looking in.
Ooh, very interesting prediction. That's 3 way offs. Who's going to make the play? Anyway, we'll talk about that another time. Speaking of the Steelers, though, one of their wide receivers, Chase Claypool, spoke the other day about what his expectations are for their offense this year. Here's what he had to say.
I think we can be the best offense in the country as long as we do all the right things. You know, we got to stay healthy and we got to execute plays. But I think there is no ceiling for us. Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of people are going to, you know, get on my head for that. But, you know, I believe that, and as I should.
All right, so Brooke Pryor, now our NFL Nation Steelers reporter, joins us from Latrobe, Pennsylvania. Brooke, most of the great offenses that I know of have a quarterback, and the Steelers no longer have Ben Roethlisberger. So where do things stand right now with the competition to replace him?
Yeah, Dan, I look at the Steelers quarterback competition like a plane taking off, which is because Mike Tomlin wants to take a 30,000-foot view of these quarterbacks. So the first couple weeks of camp are the plane. It's ascending. You can still, you know, get text messages to your cell phone if you did not put it on airplane mode. But this first preseason game is like the 10,000-foot mark. So you can take out your laptop. You can start to, you know, use the airplane Wi-Fi if it's working. And I think that what we've seen from the quarterbacks through the first couple weeks has been Mason Rudolph has overperformed, I think, what he was expected. Mitch Trubisky has been, it's kind of gone up and down. And Kenny Pickett has been steadily improving. And this first preseason game, I would expect Mitch Trubisky to start. We'll hear from Mike Tomlin in a couple hours with a definitive plan, but I think it will go Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph, Kenny Pickett, which is the order that they've been taking reps in here. And I've been impressed with Mason Rudolph's poise, but he's always been really good in camp. It matters how he plays on Saturday.
Yeah, Brooke, you know, you're supposed to put that phone on airplane mode when the cabin door is closed. I don't know what kind of scofflaw you are on the airlines. I want to bring this out, though, for a broader conversation about the Steelers. Diana, Mike Tomlin has coached there 15 years, and he has never had a losing season. So a lot of questions about the quarterback, a lot of questions around the team, more so than usual. What do you expect from the Steelers this year?
You take a look at when Ben Roethlisberger was there and some of the, let's just call it, undisciplined situations that we all witnessed, right? You could see it. You saw some of it on the sidelines as well, where Ben was just losing his patience with some of these receivers. And you have to figure Ben was the leader of the team, right? He holds everyone accountable. And if things aren't grooving when Ben is there, it's going to be a tough battle when you have Mitchell Trubisky, who's new to Pittsburgh and is a much younger player and obviously very different than Big Ben. But here's the thing. Just the way we give Bill Belichick so much credit and Andy Reid every time we talk about the potential of the season and what it looks like, we have got to give Mike Tomlin some credit and some belief that he has got to be able to put together a Steelers team that will compete. They may not make some deep playoff run, but we know his record. He's always been above 500. He is a winner. I don't think that changes this year.
No question that he has earned the benefit of the doubt over those 15 years. But Mike T, I mean, you mentioned it, tough division and a lot of question marks. Do you think this is the first year Mike Tomlin has a losing record?
I do, for the reasons we just talked about, the AFC and the AFC North. Now, with that said, as somebody just reminded me, over the last 2 years, the Steelers are 25th in the NFL in explosive plays. I do believe Trubisky will be their starter. I do think he'll play better than Ben Roethlisberger, especially he'll make plays with his feet. Trubisky's a great athlete, so even though they're going to get improved play on offense, I just think the bar is so high in the AFC right now that I think they're going to fall short this year. But I think Mike Tomlin's had a remarkable run. He's a Hall of Famer and probably hasn't gotten the credit he deserves.
To be clear, what you mean by he'll play better than Ben Roethlisberger is better than Ben did last year.
That's right.
Right. Not, I mean, Ben's a Hall of Famer. What do you think, D. Wood?
Yeah, for me, I think it speaks more, and I agree with Mike, it speaks more to the AFC as a conference. Mm-hmm. It's just, there's so many good teams. I mean, you could go from division to division, and you can almost pick two teams that you think that could, you know, make it to the postseason. And I think with the uncertainty at the quarterback position, I agree with Mike. I think Mitch Trubisky will be the starting quarterback. It's just so much, it's so much competition in that conference. I think this probably be his first year where I can see him go 8-9. That's about it.
Yeah.
8-9 for Mike Tomlin.
All right, Brooke, you're on the ground with him every single day. What are your thoughts? Put a bow on this for us.
You know, one thing that hasn't been mentioned is this defense. You're telling me a team mm-hmm. with T.J. Watt is going to maybe not make the playoffs. That might be a little reach. But a team with T.J. Watt, I don't think they're going to have a losing season. And, yes, this run defense was not great last year. That's been a huge focal point. They have a new defensive coordinator in Terrell Austin. The secondary is looking a little bit better. They added Larry Ogunjobi up front to help with the run defense. Cam Hayward is playing at a really high level. So I think you take this defense and then the complimentary pieces on offense, a young guy like running back Najee Harris, George Pickens, a rookie wide receiver who's been really impressive here at camp. And I've even seen these quarterbacks, I mean, listen, you're going to have to take my word for it, but they have thrown the ball more than 5 yards down the field. And that's been really exciting. So I think that I don't think that Mike Tomlin's going to have a losing season, but time will tell.
Doesn't sound like Brooke enjoyed watching last year's Steelers offense all that much. Brooke, great job. Thanks a lot, Brooke. We'll obviously be checking in a lot on the Steelers. Very interesting team ahead of the season. Our next stop, though, is in New York, actually New Jersey, where the Giants head coach Brian Daboll said Sunday that he anticipates that his starters will play in their preseason opener tonight against the Patriots. That includes Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, both of whom are entering the final year of their contract. So the Giants, it's been a very long time since they've been a contending team. They change coaches every 2 years, and they're trying to get this right. They bring in Brian Daboll, who had a lot of success in Buffalo with Josh Allen, and they're hoping he can do some of the same things for Daniel Jones. So, Diana, do you think he can?
I do, because I think what Brian Daboll has in New York that he actually didn't have in Buffalo, where we know he had a lot of success, was a strong, good run game. Saquon Barkley, we know, is coming off injury, but seems to be very motivated and eager to be part of this. You know, the ideal situation for Saquon Barkley would be getting, you know, 25, 30 touches. And Dan, you know this. It takes Saquon a bit to get warmed up into the game. But once you get Barkley going, he becomes relentless. And using him as a pass catcher, too, is obviously part of the plan. You go back to Dable's Alabama game, Alabama days, where he was calling plays, and you look at that run game with Josh Jacobs. I believe that the New York Giants, you're going to see more of the game on the ground than you're going to see more in the air.
Interesting. D Wood, what do you think about Dable and the Giants' offense?
I think it's going to be more of a spread type offense where they have a lot of playmakers on the perimeter and just have Saquon in the backfield, open things up for Saquon. And obviously use the athletic ability of Daniel Jones. I think the question I have is, can Brian Daboll coach the turnovers out of Daniel Jones? I mean, listen, Daniel Jones is not a rookie. He's been in the league, you know, for some time now. That's going to be hard to overcome for a player that's been so turnover prone throughout his career. Can the coach it out of him? I think that's the big question I need to see.
That is an issue that's gotten a little better with Daniel as the years have gone on. He's entering year four now, so he may have shown a little bit of improvement in that. What do you think about Daboll's chances there?
I think he's going to do great. We saw him firsthand in New York with Brett Favre at the Jets. He's very creative. And I think Saquon Barkley is going to have a big year receiving. That's something else that Brian Daboll likes to do from a fantasy football standpoint. I think Saquon's not only going to be productive running, but I think he's going to be really helpful in the passing game.
You heard it. Everybody here on the set is liking Saquon Barkley in their fantasy drafts. So, you know, write that down as part of your prep, and we'll see how that works out. We come back to Risky Business in San Francisco. It's out with the old and in with the new, but are the 49ers making a big mistake? Plus, will this be Zeke's last dance in Dallas? One of our analysts says less Zeke may equal more success for the Cowboys. We'll talk about it when we come back.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, time for another game. This one's called Either Or. D. Wood, who has more wins this season, the Ravens or the Bengals?
I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals. I love the fact that they have continuity for the second straight year as far as systems is concerned. And I love the improvements that the additions they've made along the offensive line. Giving Joe Burrow that extra protection means everyone on that offense is going to eat better.
D. Wood likes the defending division champs. Mike T., how about you? Who has more wins this season, the Chiefs or the Chargers?
The Chargers, led by that guy right there, Justin Herbert, league MVP. I think they're going to have a great year. They had a really good offseason. Like what they did on the other side of the ball, too. Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson, hopefully a healthy Derwin James. But this will be razor thin. taking nothing away from the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes. I just like Justin Herbert a little bit more this year.
Mike T all in on the Chargers. Diana, who has more wins this season, the 49ers or the defending Super Bowl champion Rams?
Continuity. Damian just used that word, and it's a good one, especially when it comes to this Rams team. They're not seeing significant change. And, oh, yeah, Matthew Stafford in a second season in this offense, an offense that he said he hadn't really figured out and mastered, and they won the Super Bowl. So what are they going to look like now that he's even more comfortable? And, of course, Sean McVay, their head coach, getting a new contract, that always helps it out.
Diana taking the defending champs, but let's talk about the other team, the 49ers. They begin a new era with Trey Lance at the helm at quarterback. Lance was incredible in 2019 at North Dakota State, started 16 games, accounted for 42 touchdowns, and threw no interceptions. But since then, since 2019, he has started just 3 games total, one at North Dakota State in 2020 and 2 last year in his rookie season in San Francisco. So Kyle Shanahan has said he wants to play Lance in the first and third preseason games this month. I don't know what sort of sports science went into that, but we trust Kyle knows what he's doing. But to that point, Mike, is he taking a big risk moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo to someone this inexperienced at quarterback?
Yes, and it's an unnecessary one. You have a great quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo who in the last 3 years has taken your team to the Super Bowl and the championship game. I love Trey Lance. I think his upside's compelling. But why would you risk not playing Jimmy Garoppolo, especially early, when you have a team that can win right now? When Jimmy Garoppolo plays, and I know it's not a team stat, but 70% of the time they win. So that matters to me. They average 28 points. That matters to me. He's been productive in that system with that team. So to me, I like Lance long-term, but short-term, I am playing Jimmy Garoppolo.
What about you, D-Wood? Do you think he can have success right out of the gate?
Listen, as much as Mike T wants to pound on the table for Jimmy Garoppolo, like at some point, why did you give up all those assets? Yeah. He's got to play at some point. So do I think there's going to be an adjustment period? Absolutely. You already showed the stat. He's only played, 3 meaningful games, in the 2 years in San Francisco? There's going to be a transition. But I think overall the talent and the coaching and the surrounding personnel will help elevate Trey Lance as we move forward into the future. As far as the season is concerned,
it's a fascinating experiment. It's definitely a matter of Kyle Shanahan betting on himself and his own coaching ability. Diana, you talk to everybody. What are you hearing around the league when you talk about Trey Lance and expectations?
Yeah, I certainly talk a little too much. I should listen a little bit more. But when I do listen, everyone around the league has confidence in what Kyle Shanahan can do. This isn't just San Francisco 49er fans. And, even going back to the days when I covered Kyle when he was the offensive coordinator of the then Washington Redskins with Robert Griffin III and Kirk Cousins, Colt McCoy even, Rex Grossman, players that always told me how unique Kyle Shanahan was. And what makes him great, what makes him different than the others, is his ability to teach. We can never undersell that, because that's how you make the connection. That's how you get what's in your mind to be played out on the field. And that's what Kyle really is good at.
We'll soon find out how much he's been able to teach Trey Lance in a short period of time. Going to go back to baseball now, though. The Yankees were playing the Mariners last night in Seattle. We'll go right to the top of the seventh. The Yankees are up 2-1. Aaron Judge did what Aaron Judge does. He had a home run. It's his 45th home run of the season. Yankees now lead 3-1. Bottom of the seventh, same score. Seattle has a runner on second with nobody out. Mitch Haniger hits a line drive to left field. That's going to score Ty France, and that's going to cut the Yankee lead to 3-2. Two batters later, one on with one out. Here's Carlos Santana. That's a fly ball to deep right field, and it is gone for a 2-run home run off of Albert Abreu. Santana now has 3 go-ahead home runs in the seventh inning or later this season, which makes him a clutch player. And yesterday it made the Mariners 4-3 winners, and they took the series against the Yankees. Now remember, the Yankees were absolutely rolling entering July 11th as they had a 700 win percentage and a 4.5 game lead on the Houston Astros for the best record in the American League. But over the past calendar month, the Yankees are 6 games under 500 with a team ERA up a full run over where it was. And because of those struggles, the Astros are now tied for the best record in the American League. So to talk about the Yankees and Major League Baseball, we welcome in Buster Olney. Buster, the Yankees have lost 7 out of 8, and they're 7-13 since the All-Star break. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you about this Yankee team?
Yeah, I'd put it right now at about an 8.5 because, Dan, I think they need home field advantage in the American League playoffs because when they haven't had it in recent years, they've lost. 2017, they were eliminated by the Astros in Houston in a Game 7. 2019, eliminated in a Game 6 in Houston. Last fall, they lost the wild card game in Boston. This Yankee team needs the home field. In recent years in the postseason, 11-5 in Yankee Stadium, 7-12 on the road. So for them to hemorrhage that many games in the standings, yeah, it's a big concern.
Now, of course, the thing that people always sometimes forget about the baseball season, it's ludicrously long, and there's obviously time for the Yankees to get right. They have some good things going on. Aaron Judge hit his 45th home run of the season on August 10th. I mean, these are ludicrous numbers. What stands out to you about the year he's having and the tear he's on?
Dan, that they keep pitching to him. You know, that home run he hit yesterday, there were two outs, nobody on base, the Mariners are down a run. You could just intentionally walk Judge and get to Anthony Rizzo, who's had back issues, was back in the lineup yesterday for the first time. But they pitch to him, and everybody keeps pitching to him. Dan, over his last 21 games, he's got 14 home runs. He's hitting almost .450, slugging percentage over 1,000, and he's got only 8 intentional walks the whole year. It's crazy.
It's ridiculous, honestly. It's like the rest of baseball wants to help him get that contract that the Yankees didn't want to give him before the season started. He's been red hot, but he's not the only one. I'm told you're more impressed maybe with a team out on the West Coast.
Yeah, and that would be the Dodgers. Think about these numbers for the Dodgers since June 21st. They won 37 of 45 games. Their offense is ridiculously hot. They have a run differential in that time of plus 122. That means they're beating teams by almost an average of 3 runs per game. Now, the other day I asked Dave Roberts, their manager, about what's changed since late June. He said, you know what, we're playing more team ball. You have hitters willing to pass the baton, take a walk, maybe look to use the whole field when they're swinging. It's certainly showing in their output. Right now, they've got the best offensive baseball. It's not even close.
All right, one more thing before you go. I know you're a big bat flip aficionado. I want you to check out this one from the KBO. This is Lotte Giants outfielder Jung Hoon. He's going to hit it deep to left, and then the bat goes flying. What do you think about this? What are your thoughts on the bat flip off of this big fly?
Yeah, Dan, that is a 10 on a scale of 1 to 10. That is an awesome bat flip. Like, that goes in the Bat Flip Hall of Fame with what he did right there. I think you'd agree with me.
Absolutely. He's leaning back. He's firing that thing up into the air. It's like part of the swing. Remarkable. Remarkable. Anyway, Buster Olney, thanks for joining us. People may not know, Buster and I used to cover the Yankees together back when Derek Jeter played for them. And that reminds me that tonight we will have the series finale of The Captain, which is the unprecedented look into Derek Jeter's life and career. Coverage begins at 10 Eastern on ESPN and ESPN Plus. And if you missed parts 1 through 6 of The Captain, you can always watch them on ESPN Plus whenever you want. Coming up, the Browns' big decision. Is Cleveland making a mistake starting Deshaun Watson Friday night in Jacksonville? And will they even be allowed to do it? We'll talk about it when we come back.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.